The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
We made it to the final hour, which is good. But we may stick around tonight with so much going on. Thanks for being a part of it. Movement on Oklahoma and Texas has happened today. According to Ross Dellinger, a president's meeting scheduled for Thursday. Heather Dinitz joining us at the bottom of the hour with the latest. Shane is up next in Oklahoma. Shane, thank you and good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Wanted to call in and get your thoughts on Oklahoma joining the conference. Assuming if Oklahoma and Texas are the only two additions, with aging Nick Saban and lack of QB play at Georgia, is Lincoln Riley poised to be the leader of that conference?
Yeah, Shane, if I could have a word with you before we answer that question. I know you guys are new to the SEC, but the SEC bylaws prohibit Nick Saban being referred to as the aging Nick Saban.
Understood. But it could be another 5 years before we join the conference.
Let me sound like a Feinbaum call. It doesn't matter whether Nick Saban is 70 or 75 or 80 or 85 or 90 or as old as Methuselah. He'll still win. You know that. So back to your question. Lincoln Riley, right? I mean, we haven't really talked about what's happening on the field, but Lincoln Riley is one of the hottest coaches in the country. I mean, I don't think it would be difficult to rank Lincoln Riley if Oklahoma, joined tomorrow, as the second best coach in the SEC.
Understood. Thanks, Paul.
I might upset some people in College Station because they have a national championship coach. But Lincoln Riley has been phenomenal here in the, how long has he been there? 3 years? I've never seen anybody do what he's done.
All right. Thanks. Well, I look forward to tuning in more often, Paul.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm not completely naive. I mean, I realize that since last Wednesday at 4:40 in the afternoon, a few folks in Austin and Dallas and Houston, San Antonio, El Paso, Norman, Stillwater, Oklahoma City, Tulsa. I'm on Tulsa time now. I understand, but we are going to have to stop once things calm down. We're going to have to do an entire program on what you can and can't say here on the SEC network. And I didn't mean to admonish my friend there from Oklahoma, Shane, but. I just cannot allow that to go on. Mitch is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Mitch. Mitch, you there?
I'm here.
Well, good. I'm glad you made it. Good afternoon.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I spent some of the time while you were on vacation reading your book.
Oh, really?
Well, I missed you, so I read your book. And I think I finally understand what people like I Man have been saying about the old days, I guess you call it. I was really touched by some of the things that you wrote in it, and Robert from
Waterloo, Iowa.
I guess it was a smaller group of people, so they knew each other better.
The program, there was a time when we really all knew each other, and I still feel like we know a lot of people, but, the last year and a half has been tough on that growth, but I'm glad you read it, there's a lot of stuff in there that really does kind of fill in the blanks of the backstory of this show.
It really does. It makes you understand it, and it also makes you appreciate people like I-Man and Squirrel and all those callers who've been calling in and dedicated to you for all these years. So, I truly have an understanding that I didn't have. But my question to you is, why is your books so hard to find?
Now, you're talking about the book with all the callers on the front?
The one I read is My Conference is Better Than Yours.
You know, it's interesting because you should have called me. I've got a few copies at home.
How am I going to call you? It takes forever to get in on the show.
Well, the book came out in 2014, and I'm not criticizing the publisher, which is HarperCollins, but if they ever had an opportunity to reprint the book with and add Oklahoma and Texas in a year or two, they're missing a pretty good opportunity. But yeah, the name of the book is My Conference Can Beat Your Conference: Why the SEC Still Rules College Football. And a lot of people from the New York Times on down, felt like that was boastful and braggadocious. But you know what? It's really not anymore.
It's not.
I had a blast doing it. I mean, you saw, the book opens, I think, in Clemson with my first weekend.
It's that first chapter, yeah. Georgia versus Clemson.
Yeah, I mean, it's so ironic. I've told this story, but I realized to the folks in Oklahoma and Texas, and the book's available, by the way, right now on eBay for 35 cents. So, buy it quickly.
No, it's no more than that.
The good news on a book like that, whatever I made, it was made years ago. It's not going to change anymore. The SEC Network did not launch to the next year, so my bosses had to find something for me to do during year one before SEC Nation. So they asked me if I could hang out on College Game Day all season. So I used that as the guide to the book. Every week it's another game day site, and it was Clemson one week with Georgia playing. That was the opening game of the season. Then we went to Georgia a couple weeks later, and went to Stillwater one weekend and College Station. It's really that was lightning, by the way, right outside our studio. It was not bombs coming from Spencer Rattler. But I'm really glad you saw it. I wish you had told me you were looking for it. We could have accommodated that very quickly.
Well,
I would have had Danny Brams drive it to your house.
Well, you've got a book that is Paul, Things That Paul Say.
Right.
And I can't find it.
Here's the most interesting thing in that book, I thought. I did it with Gene Wojciechowski, who's a great friend. And we collectively came up with a scoop, but we came up with some information that year. And by the time the book came out, it was already moot. But we discovered that a group of University of Texas boosters had offered Nick Saban $100 million to become the Texas coach after Mack Brown. And just think about that now. How different life would have been for UT and for Alabama if they had pulled that off.
You're right. Let me ask you one more question because I know you're going to hang up on me. Those books, the ones that 303 things that Paul hates about, is it just the same book with a different team?
I don't want to knock my own product, but many years ago, the president of a big book retailer, Clyde Anderson, his family started a book, what's called Books A Million. It's like Barnes & Noble and the big bookstores. He called me and he said, I got a great idea for a book. So we did the book and they were entitled I Hate Alabama and I Hate Auburn. Those came out. And he said, why don't you just do a book on every college team in America? So if you don't tell anybody, this is about 25 years ago, I basically spent two summers figuring out a formula, just basically to use the same jokes for every school in America. And we ended up doing 54 different books. And this was before Amazon. So I think if it had come out today, there's just no telling what the market would have been. But it did well, but it was fairly convoluted. And I will say in all candor, the book's probably really are so outdated, I wouldn't waste your time on them. Hey, thanks for the call, Mitch. We're up against a break. Have you ever heard of an author trying not to sell a book. That was just me a minute ago. We'll be back with more of your phone calls and Heather Dinich coming up shortly.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we are back here. Heather Dinich joining us in a few minutes with the absolute latest on realignment. Haven't said that word in a long time. Paul in Jackson, Tennessee. How are you, Paul? Hey, Paul. Good afternoon. Call
good
Paul.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Call Paul.
Paul. Yes, I'm here.
Well, great to have you on. Good afternoon.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
Last week, I saw your interview with the Texas A&M AD, Doc,
Ross Bjork.
Yeah. Ross Bjork, okay. And at the time, he said that, if I'm correct, he said that they had an agreement when they joined the SEC that kind of Texas and Oklahoma would not be become part of the SEC in the future. Am I understanding that right?
Well, you understood what he said correctly. He did say that, and so did others. And it was loosely referred to as a gentleman's agreement.
Gentleman's agreement,
and,
right.
The commissioner at the time was Mike Slive. And
right.
I really don't know whether – I mean, I do not doubt that was said. I'm not –
right.
I mean, but clearly things have changed.
Right. I also understood that at this president's meeting,
yes,
the all it would take would be 4 votes from the president's to not approve this,
correct,
to keep
that
from happening.
That is correct.
So I would imagine Ross Bjork is going to be pounding the streets to try and keep
those votes. Let me offer just an observation. I understand the frustration from Texas A&M, and it's rooted with good intent. I mean, if that indeed occurred 10 years ago, which I assume it did, but
right.
I do
right.
not believe that Texas A&M is going to interfere. I just think that they can do the math in College Station. They're bright people. And ultimately, they don't want to look like the little kid stomping his feet, because it's their opinion right now. They're better than Texas. So Texas is joining the SEC because of the success of A&M. And I don't think they want to – I think they'll let it go. I believe A&M, unless it's just some
okay.
protest vote, which I don't think it will go along with everyone else.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you clearing that up for me, Paul.
Thank you. Yeah, and thanks for the call. And I don't doubt anyone who said that. And knowing Commissioner Sankey, Commissioner Slive, and now Commissioner Sankey, I'm sure that was a question that Bowen Lofton, the president at the time, asked. And why wouldn't the SEC have said that? And I'm not defending, hey, things have changed. I mean, if you haven't agreed. But a lot of agreements. I remember another situation once involving two major entities, and I happened to run into the president of one of those entities, and I said, well, I thought you guys had an agreement. He said, well, it's business. Okay, it is, but that doesn't make it right. That just clarifies what it's all about. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Rick is in Virginia, and you are on the air. Hello, Rick. Let me try that one more time. Rick is in Virginia. Yes. And you are on the air. Hello, Rick.
Hey, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm going to try to keep it short and sweet. Word in the Virginia Tech circles is that they were invited to the SEC conference in the first decade of the 2000s. Do you think they would still be a fit, or do you see a scenario where that would happen?
I think they would be a great fit myself. Yeah, I don't know exactly what went down then, but I've always thought if you tried to identify, I mean, I'm not talking about unrealistic possibility, because Clemson obviously is the most natural. Clemson and Florida State have, you know, well documented their natural fits for the SEC, but beyond the obvious in terms of realistic schools that could add, I think Virginia Tech fits very well. It's a lot of similar tendencies to SEC schools, really a fantastic athletic department overall, a fervent fan base, and I don't know if that's going to happen, because I think it's extremely difficult to disengage from the ACC, but I've always thought that was I've always looked at the ACC as kind of a clubby North Carolina, Virginia fraternity, and I've never really thought Virginia Tech fit into that.
Right.
And
totally
when I mean,
agree.
When I mean clubby, I'm talking about Chapel Hill, Wake Forest, Duke, UVA. I mean, these are snooty people, okay?
Gotcha. I just wanted your opinion on that. Thank you for taking my call.
I've never thought of Virginia. We had a similar conversation with West Virginia one time. And I happen to like West Virginia. I thought they fit into the SEC too, but then you started hearing all the usual things. But I don't know how that works, but I don't think these things are easy to do. I mean, we're talking about Texas and Oklahoma, who can see the end of the rainbow. If you're Virginia Tech, you are theoretically committed to 2035, I believe. Let's roll on, and Buck Wild is in Florida on a Monday afternoon with a lot of news going on. Hello, Buck Wild.
Hey, happy birthday, Paul.
Thank you.
How you doing?
I never thought I would hit 50, I swear. It just, it is really caught up to me.
Look how nice you look. I mean,
you look great for 50.
Yeah,
okay?
I am really kind of depressed about it. I just thought, I'd stay 40, 49 forever.
Well, you know, it happens to the best of us. You know, I kept hearing that this has been in the works for months. What the story, you know, of course, broke last week. How the hell do these people keep this a secret?
You know, I talked to Greg Sankey a few weeks ago about the CFP situation, but they're all intertwined. I mean, can you imagine? Think about this. He's sitting at the table with Bob Bowlesby, the Big 12 commissioner. Well, he's ripping off the two best schools. I mean, that's a poker face, if you ask me. I mean, Bowlesby never realized that he left the meeting without his wallet.
I mean, I don't think the Illuminati can keep a secret like this.
You know, it's cliche, Buck, but there's always this theory out there, and you know what I'm about to say, that there's only one great, really good way to keep a secret, and that's not to tell anyone. And
right.
I would imagine the circle was so tight, because I know people that are, you know, in that circle, and I don't think it went. I'll tell you one story. This goes back to I believe it was 2011. I had lunch planned with Commissioner Slive, in Birmingham. We always met at the same place, and he called me at the last minute. So I've got to, can we meet at a different place? It was right there on the interchange, which you would jump on to go to Atlanta. I said, sure, Commissioner. So we're sitting at lunch, and he's always a relaxed, fun guy, and he seemed uptight. I said, Commissioner, I said, what's, are you okay? He said, yeah, I'm about to go. I've got to run over to Atlanta for a meeting. I said, okay. And I said, anything important? He said, I really can't go into it, which always tells me as a reporter, this is really cool. And I didn't really ask any questions other than I said, well, I hope it goes well. He said, yeah, it's a tough situation because nobody knows where I'm going at my office. And it turned out that was the meeting with the ESPN president to start the process on the SEC network. And, you know, these things always start small, and then you bring in a few more people. But the most important people you bring into a conversation like this are your attorneys, because they do most of the conversation. So you're not liable for it, and you have plausible deniability. When I say liable, I'm serious, because the commissioner of the SEC can't just call up the University of Texas president and say, hey, we want you, and can we go down to Tacos R Us in Austin and have a meal, because it's tortious interference. Anyway, thanks for the call. Really appreciate it. One day maybe we'll find out more about that. Anyway, we got some news to report in a minute concerning the University of Missouri. We'll get to that. We'll also get to Heather Dinich coming up here in just a few minutes, right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We promised Heather Dinich joining us from ESPN. She is, of course, hard at work on this ever-changing, ever-breaking story. Always great to have Heather with us. So, Heather, we begin with the news of the day and where we are at 6:30 Eastern time right now with conference expansion and especially the SEC.
Well, a source with knowledge of the process told me, Paul, that the next step would be for the presidents at Oklahoma and Texas to formally inform the SEC that they would like to join the conference, if that is indeed what they plan on doing. And then the next step after that would be for the SEC presidents and chancellors to actually have a meeting and vote on it, and they would need 11 of 14 to approve inviting Oklahoma and Texas. Now, obviously, there's still a lot of questions. This might not happen as fast as some people are maybe expecting it to, but I did have one Big 12 source say to me today after that statement came out, the joint statement from Texas and Oklahoma, one person said, look, anyone who reads this and assumes that it's a commitment to stay through 2025 has a false sense of security. So that window is certainly open for some wiggle room for Texas and Oklahoma to leave before then. But Paul, that's a hefty fee, $75 to $80 million per school to do that early. And of course, you have to have the 18-month notice per Big 12 bylaws.
Yeah, that's a good or bad day in the oil futures for a couple of Texas guys. But Heather, let me get to that, because you deal in facts and reality. We want the games here on this program. So realistically, sounds like a CFP question, which I'll get to. But When's the earliest, and you may have answered it a minute ago, when's the earliest you think that this could happen in the SEC?
Well, I've heard from multiple sources the earliest is 2022 because of all of those things that I just mentioned. But look, a lot of people in the league, in the Big 12, are viewing the statement that came out today as the first type of legal maneuver. You know, people know that the relationships in that league are fractured right now. There's a serious sense of mistrust. There's some people who are angry about this, you know, not having known that these conversations were going on. I mean, I can tell you, my sources in the Big 12 told me it was just a couple of weeks ago, if that, that the entire conference was sitting on a call talking about how a 12-team playoff is going to benefit the Big 12. And then a week later, this news comes out and people in the league were blindsided by it. So, you know, if they stick around knowing that relationship is fractured, you know, that's awkward, right? Everybody knows that's awkward. So I would think that they want to get out if they can. But again, there's a fee and there's going to be attorneys involved, and it could get ugly, if we're being honest.
Let's go around the country for a second, Heather, because, you know, just because this happens doesn't mean someone else will make a move, but it's very likely. And there's a lot of speculation, and I'm sure some of it is just insane to you, but realistically, how do you see the rest of this playing out, assuming this does occur and it occurs within a reasonably short period of time? What are other leagues do to try to keep in this race, so to speak?
Well, I'll start with the facts in answering that question, like you said. And I can tell you that on the Big 12's video conference last Thursday, where Oklahoma and Texas weren't on it, they spoke at least at a shallow level of, okay, if OU and Texas leave, can we get Cincinnati? Can we talk about Houston? Talk about BYU? Talk about UCF? The programs that had shown interest the last time the Big 12 had talked about expansion. So we'll start there. They didn't go into a deep dive on that because at that time they were trying to figure out what the heck is Oklahoma and Texas doing and what are their motivations, right? So they would probably revisit that conversation because they like those eight schools. That being said, who are they going to bring in that is going to add the value that you just lost in Oklahoma and Texas, your flagship programs? So you've got other schools like West Virginia already thinking about, hey, hold on a minute, can we get into the ACC? How can we jump ship, right? But it has to be reciprocal, and I certainly cannot guarantee that it is from the ACC side. And then you have the X factor, the monkey wrench of Notre Dame, which is always out there, right? And such a critical component to this story. Jack Swarbrick, their athletic director, told me, I like our position a lot, but also realize that the landscape is changing. If they were to join contractually, it would be the ACC. But again, who else would bring value along with Notre Dame to convince the Irish to make that move? So a lot of dominoes. And one other thing I can add is Pac-12 Commissioner George Kliavkov told me, we are not going to try to poach other teams, but if other teams call us and schools call us, we would be fools not to listen. And it is important to remember, Paul, that it's the presidents and chancellors behind the scenes who are doing this wheeling and dealing and having these conversations. They care about academics. Who are the programs that could add the academic component to it? And for some conferences, especially the Big Ten and the Pac-12, that shrinks automatically your pool of candidates to join.
Yeah, and that's the most complicated part, Heather, which brings me to this crazy, maybe it may not be so crazy, but, you know, a lot of people are speculating you'll see some arranged marriage, so to speak. The Big Ten and the Pac-12 already have a unique relationship. We lived through that during COVID on August 11th. Is that plausible to have, you know, some relationship that we interpret as more than what currently exists?
I would say it's plausible. It wouldn't surprise me. I think they may have danced that dance before. I think we've had some reporting on that in the past by my colleague Adam Rittenberg. But, you know, again, nothing would surprise me. And if Oklahoma and Texas do go to the SEC, as one person told me, it will impact everyone. Everyone. So I guarantee every commissioner across the country is watching this like a hawk. And there are some who feel like they're in a great spot, you know, that they're okay, but they're certainly waiting to see what others do.
Okay, Heather, I thousand more questions, but I'll try to keep it in on the road, which is difficult to do. We appreciate it. I have a feeling we'll be seeing a lot of you in the coming days. Thanks so much for making time.
Thanks, Paul.
You got it. Heather Dinich. By the way, breaking news at this hour from Columbia, Missouri. It is now official. Dave Matter reporting Jim Sterk, who is the athletic director, is stepping down. He took over about, what, 3 or 4 years ago? He's made some big coaching hires. 2016, he's been there since then. And that certainly a lot to digest. And the only, I don't know what's behind that, but the timing of it right before the season, while everything else is going on, is very interesting. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.